Republicans and Democrats have been strategizing for the 2002 midterm elections, when all of the House of Representatives and one-third of the Senate will be up for re-election. The Democrats have a delicate problem. They're trying to unseat a party which is led by a president with astronomical approval ratings, and many of the Democrats' strongest domestic issues have been overshadowed by the war on terrorism. NPR national political correspondent Mara Liasson reports the Democrats believe they have a way to deal with those challenges.
It's 11 months away from next year's congressional elections and 3 years away from the presidential race, but House Minority Leader Dick Gephardt is in New Hampshire. Any trip to the first presidential primary state is helpful for a politician trying to keep his options open for another White House bid, but Gephardt's first focus is regaining control of the House. If the Democrats can pick up just 6 seats next fall, Gephardt would become the speaker. He's here in Manchester to campaign for a congressional hopeful and to ridicule the Republicans.
We need a big tax cut for the wealthiest people and the biggest corporations in the country. That's what the Republicans said just a few months ago. And even in the face of 9/11, they are not willing to review that economic policy and adjust it and modify it given the new conditions we are in. It is a mindless economic policy for this country. We need a new majority. We need to keep Social Security and Medicare strong.
You might think that Democrats would be reluctant to take on a party whose president has close to a 90% approval rating, but they're not. In Washington, Gephardt sums up the Democrats' message this way.
The president is managing the war well. He is mismanaging the economy with the help of his colleagues in the Senate and the House.
The Democrats' confidence in this new formula, praise Mr. Bush on foreign policy, but criticize him on economic policy, comes from polling data that found the public's super strong support of the president on national security issues did not translate into support for him on domestic issues. Stan Greenberg's research convinced him that after 9/11, the public was making careful distinctions.
They think that the White House has a lot on its hands. You know, they're waging a war, tremendous problems. They want the White House to focus on the terrorist threat and get the job done. But they want other people who they elect to Congress, you know, to think about the economy, to think about the rising problems with health care and education. And in that place, they think maybe Democrats are going to, you know, devote more of their energies, more of their attention to that.
Greenberg and two other Democratic consultants, James Carville and Bob Schrum, wrote a memo called Politics After the Attack. It's been widely circulated among Democrats. In it, they advise the party not to attack Mr. Bush directly. The public is in no mood for that, Greenberg says.
I'm not sure there's a reason to focus on the president. The House Republicans are a gigantic, gigantic target. They are seen as the most partisan players in this mix, and the most extreme on policy, the ones who have proposed tax cuts that are most out of sync, most likely to favor the narrowest interests. And so, a Democrat should feel completely free to attack the approach of the House Republicans. In fact, there's some advantage in putting some separation between the president and the rest of the Republican Party.
Republican pollster Bill McInturf concedes that the Democrats are onto something. In the public's mind, the president is already separated from the rest of his party.
President Bush's job approval is now based on two things. One, making sure we're safe at home, and two, prosecuting the war on terrorism around the world. But you know what? The average member of Congress, that's not their job. And so we all have to be cautious about, and I say we here, I mean the Republican Party, is to remember that the president's job approval ratings help us. But that's no protection in terms of what could happen in an off-year election if the economy doesn't improve.
Members of Congress, McInturf says, will be evaluated on what they do about the economy and how they help people in their own districts deal with bread-and-butter issues like jobs and health care. That's one reason why Republicans are so reluctant to walk away from negotiations with Democrats over the economic stimulus package. Political professionals like McInturf pay a lot of attention to history, and McInturf says in 20 years of polling, he's never seen a midterm election where a high presidential approval rating has helped the members of the president's party in Congress. A weak presidential rating, on the other hand, can hurt a president's party. In New Hampshire, Dick Gephardt is also eager to talk about history. He's handing out small laminated scorecards showing that presidents since the Civil War almost invariably lose seats in midterm elections.
1942, 11 months after Pearl Harbor, which is an analogous situation to now, Franklin Roosevelt lost 50-some-odd seats in the House of Representatives. And I would dare say the country was in as patriotic a mood then as it is now.
At the holiday party for New Hampshire Democrats this past weekend, state party activists like Jim Demers are optimistic. Demers believes that when the war on terrorism winds down, the country will return its attention to issues like Medicare, Social Security, and the environment, and the Democrats will be in good shape.
There are a lot of other issues out there, and when we start dealing with the real economic problems we've got, I think the Democrats have the right stance that they've taken.
Ray Buckley is the vice chair of the New Hampshire State Democratic Party.
You see people with their flags on their car, and they're very patriotic right now because they want to send a message to Bin Laden about what happened in both New York and in Washington and in Pennsylvania. But nobody is saying, oh, I'm going to support Republicans because we all support President Bush.
And Democrat Marjorie Smith, a New Hampshire state legislator, explains the Democrats' newfound confidence by pointing to a different and more recent history lesson.
I see no reason why we should be intimidated if we pay attention to history. Someone rather closely related to the incumbent president had an awfully high popularity rating a few years ago in the middle of a war.
President Bush's father did have soaring approval ratings after he won the Persian Gulf War, but then he was punished by voters here in New Hampshire because he was perceived as out of touch with the economic problems of ordinary Americans. A senior White House official says Democrats should not get too carried away with this analogy. George W. Bush has learned an important lesson. The son is determined not to be seen the way his father was, as slow to respond to a weakening economy. Here's President Bush 2 weeks ago empathizing with unemployed Americans at a town meeting in Orlando, Florida.
There's nothing that hurts me more than to know as we head into the holiday season that some of our citizens and some of their families hurt because they've been laid off as a result of 9-1-1. And we have a role in the government, in the state government, in the federal government, to provide immediate help as part of an economic security package.
As a matter of fact, after the new year, the White House plans to refocus the president's energies on the economy and other domestic issues. That may make Mr. Bush less vulnerable to Democratic attacks when he runs again in 2004, but it may do little to help Republican candidates in 2002. Mara Liasson, NPR News, Manchester, New Hampshire.